Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul. If it takes all night long, come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long, the evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. But I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul. If it takes all night long.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. I hope everyone's having a great week. Well, had a great week. It's over now. And I wish you all an even better weekend. I know. I say the same stuff all the time. Don't ask me how I am, because I always say better. If I was any better, I'd be twins. So, you know, I mean, I'm a creature of habit. Hello, Laurent. How are you tonight?
Not too bad, sweet lady. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, if I already told you, but any better than twins.
That's true. Right. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm a little out of practice here. I can tell by your voice that you're feeling chipper despite pain.
Oh, God, yeah. I just can't stand my knee anymore. But that's okay. I took a pill, and hopefully that'll stop hurting, and it'll all be fine and dandy. Maybe even sweet and candy. But anyway, yeah, I'm trying.
I could do something with that, but in deference to you, I won't.
Well, that's a good idea. Just be something to fight about. You know how it works.
Yeah, you know the old thing. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
That's what they say. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. That's what they say. I don't know. I've had some candy that was pretty quick. Look, I tell you, when I have my gallbladder out, and I know where, I feel like an old lady when I start talking about the battle scars. But when I had my gallbladder out, they put me on a morphine pump. And I got to tell you and anybody else who gives the joint, there is nothing funny as that. And I'm talking funny, ha-ha. I'd be sitting there, and I had pancreatitis to go along with my gallbladder. You know, I can't do anything just simply. And I was in so much. And I would, the morphine would start to wear off. And I would be either talking to someone or whatever, because, you know. But the minute I hit that button, I was out cold. It was like somebody came in and flipped a light switch. And I have never experienced anything like that. Except for that.
Then you get to play. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it was all about that damn, it was like that light switch thing. And it was so funny because I knew when I touched it, I was going to be gone. And then I would wake up later, you know, start the whole process again. And
well, this allows you to play a favorite hospital game with your nurse. It's called Button, Who's Got the Button?
No, I never called my nurse. I never called my nurse.
Just hit that button on your own, huh?
Yeah, when you're on a morphine pump like that, you have a button. And when it hurts, you administer it because it only gives you so much, and you can't get it but every so often. So you're 500 times, but you'll never get more than your allotted dosage. But the minute I touched it, I was out cold. I don't know how much they gave me, but it was just enough to put me out.
A little shout-out to Sapphire and Naomi in the room.
Hello, Sapphire. Hello, Naomi. And I have another shout-out for Betty Page. I hope you feel better soon, hon. And for Sawa. Sawa, I hope you feel better soon as well. And Frank, last I heard you had an earache, so I hope you feel better, too. Anybody else? Did I forget anybody? Anybody else who's not? Oh, and Lou, God bless you. I hope you feel better soon as well. Anybody who's feeling sick, you know, give you a good shout out. I hope you all feel better. God, I sound like I'm drunk or something. I'm just going blah, 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 blah.
Hey, when you're twins, you can do that. You know, you got twice the talking power.
I know. Every now and then I wish the other one would pick up the slack just so I could take a nap. That's what it was for me. What can I say? Oh, my God, yes. So, it is Friday, and we have a nice board and plenty of poetry. And I think
we should dedicate this show to all the people who are going to get killed by the weather. Because there's some nasty weather in this country tonight.
Oh, ouch. Oh, there you go. Yeah, at least it's supposed to get cold. I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to get cold. We're not supposed to have anything until Sunday night. That's fine by me, too.
Yeah. Shut up, Frank. He's here without his earpiece. Hey, Frank.
He must have heard me tell you he had an earache.
Well, his ears had been burning as well.
Yeah, see, that's ear infection. That's, your ears are burning because I'm talking about you.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that's really it. Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Laurent, I'm going to have you kick this show off with your...
Plastic poem.
Plastic poem. Those are the words I wanted.
I knew that. Okay. Now, W.H. Auden is some mighty fine poetry. But every poem that I initially wanted to use is just simply too long. I mean, it just would have taken over the whole program. So I did find this fairly short one. We'll carry her over the water by Weston Hugh Auden. Carry her over the water and set her down under the tree. Well, the cauldron's white all day. I'm going to start over again. I'm sorry. Carry her over the water and set her down under the tree where the culver's white all days and all night, and the winds from every quarter sing agreeably, agreeably, agreeably of love. Put a gold ring on her finger and press her close to your heart, while the fish in the lake snapshots take, and the frog, that sanguine singer, sing agreeably, agreeably, agreeably of love. The streets shall flock to your marriage. The houses turn round to look. The tables and chairs say suitable prayers. And the horses drawing your carriage sing agreeably, agreeably, agreeably of love. End poem.
Nice job. Nice job. Nice poem.
That's an interesting little piece. I don't read too much by Auden. Had a little bit of a strange meter and rhyme scheme, but I found it very pleasant.
I think agreeably, it was a good poem.
Okay.
Lighthearted, not lighthearted, but, you know, a way to start things out. Instead of having some crazy problem poem, you know, it's always nice to get off. No, that's a good choice. So tell me, what made you pick that one tonight?
Other than its length, you mean? The way it talked about love. The way it talked about love, I thought that was very sweet and very rational.
Yeah.
And I like the way he personified the fish and the frogs and the horses and the houses and the streets. I mean, they're all metaphors, the things around them. Of course, houses don't turn around, but the people in the houses do. The tables and chairs say suitable prayers because it's the people who are sitting at the tables and chairs who say suitable prayers. And that whole, just the way that he drew his metaphors, I thought was very very interesting.
Nice. That was a nice piece. And I want to let you know that Wayne is with us. Hello, Wayne.
Good evening, Wayne.
Hey, Jim. Yes. How you doing, Jim? Y'all doing all right tonight?
Hey, Wayne.
Feeling better?
Pleasure to have you.
Nice to be here. I didn't think I was going to make it there for a while. I had a COVID. I thought I might have been a goner there for a while. I'm feeling a lot better now. I'm feeling glad to be alive.
Right. Well, it's good to have you, Wayne. I hope you're feeling better.
I feel a lot better.
Very good. Yeah. Let me see now. I don't know. It's like a kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a casual kind of night. I like it. I like it. Let me see now. Where do I want to go next? I think I went to go to, well, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to put Martha Gettle's piece up. And then we'll work on the carryover. I have an audio. And all I have to do is find it. Here we go. Okay, guys, here goes.
Beauty All Around Me by Martha Gettle. There is beauty in the winter snow. There is beauty in the river's flow, in the majesty of a tall green tree, and in the tiny little bumblebee. Beauty in the cloudless blue sky. There is beauty in a bird flying by. There is beauty in the sharpest pain, and in the fast, hard pouring rain. There is beauty in everything around me, I know, and beauty awaits me everywhere I go. Beauty keeps me young, it's true, like the beauty I find in loving you. There's beauty there, it's in my children's faces, and the wonder of strange exotic places. As long as I can see the beauty all around me, I know that truly old I will never be. As long as you are there to hold my hand, I will always see the beauty where I stand. There is beauty all around, everywhere I go, and that beauty keeps me young, I know. End poem.
Nice job, Mark.
Yeah, nice sound clap. That was nice. I've noticed that when our poetry is about interpersonal relationships of a romantic nature, there's a tendency for her to sing them. But when they're anything else, like nature poems, et cetera, like this one, she'll speak them. I enjoy her speaking voice, and I enjoy her rhyming, and her writing in general, I think, is very good. It's always solid. You know, it never disappoints. This one centers around beauty, and I think she weaves that into her poetry, into her poem, very nicely. There's beauty in a winter snow. There's beauty in the river's flow, in the majesty of a tall green tree, and in the tiny little bumblebee. You know, the act of presenting us with snow, which melts into the rivers, and then the contrast between the size of a green tree and then a small little bumblebee. It's a very nice contrast, and she draws those contrasts very nicely all the way through. I think it's a fine piece. Wayne, what did you think?
I think there's a lot of beauty in this poem, and she has a lot of beauty in her heart. This is a touching poem, and I was a bit surprised, like you, that she didn't sing. I thought I was expecting her to sing, like she usually does. But this is a beautiful write and great rhyme, and I think she does great when she recites the poem. She's a great voice. I like the poem a whole lot. Good job with this.
Yeah, she did a very good job. Thank you, Wayne. Great comment. And Jean Marie?
Well, I thought this was beautifully penned. But it was very well done, and I really enjoyed each stanza. I did pluck one of them out, you know, and I can't say it's because I thought it was all that in a bag of chips better than everything else. But the one I chose was, there's beauty in everything around me, I know, and beauty awaits me everywhere I go. Beauty keeps me young, it's true, like the beauty I find in loving you. It's just a sweet stanza. And I think each one of her stanzas in this is really nicely done. And I loved hearing her read it. You know, Martha, that was excellent. That's what I can say. I just really, hearing it being read was great, because I think it kind of added something to these words. Nice work, Martha. Thank you so much. Laurent, are you
there? I'm right. Oops, yeah, right here. Okay, never far. Right at your elbow. Look around, and there I am, my dear.
Don't tell me you're right at my elbow. That could be a dangerous place. Just saying.
Well, I'm just saying, I know you got sharp elbows. That's why I wear body armor.
That's right. See? Yep. Yeah, I think I'm gonna grab this one. Yeah, you gotta fill it in a little bit when I'm doing my thing. I'm having to go get a pull in. Here we go. Let's see now. Oh, I missed something. Okay, so here we go. This one is by Poetic Picasso. Let me grab that. And here we go. Look at the button.
I was always blind and so vain, for love's win me day and night, along the glint of the morning light, and through the drench of the rain. Now I roam alone the moorland lost, like a heartless wretch and bitter rover, seeking the soul of my ghostly lover, when gone are days. of cold and frost. I shall wean myself afterwards anew in the memory and stars that tarry lorn, when I shall need forthwith to mourn within a soft wetness of the mild dew. Be that prickly form I cannot free, tease me with riddles and laughter, whisper off into my ears thereafter, but do not forsake me beyond the lea. Hark to my beckon call by the window, where the gossamers drift along in the dale. Do not forget to wake me with the gale. I shall not sleep till I see the metal. Oh, kiss my lips and fondle my hair, for I shall worship you as your thrall. In a bide the old burr within the hall, where you stand there mighty and fair. Comely was the shade of all true love, in those wistful words I've spoken, have now become empty and broken with the flight of my lonesome dove. Shun me not when I am in great need, for I shall go mad if you are to leave, if I seek you blindly through the sieve, and I shall wind through a brush my heed. Haunt me like the shadow of death, before and behind my hastened step, and feel my weary tears that slowly drip. Know forsooth my soul and breath. Lead me on to the winds as I shall fly, with heavenly wings of lasting bliss, wings I shall never die or be amiss, for you are my shield within the sky. Amidst the morrow I shall go forth, following the clouds that take me into the ripples of time to forever see, above the bonny moors, heading off. Before the unforgotten hummock nigh, lay the twain, headstones unmarked by their maker who had earmarked a blushy brink of the old brow high. End of poem.
Well, I got one word for you, Frank. Bravo. The language of the Romantic and Victorian epochs is in very good hands with Frank. In my mind, this is the type of thing that he does best. When he can take a subject like Bronte, Wuthering Heights, and make you think that you've stumbled into something that Bronte wrote in association with her work. Going through this, they're all good stanzas. You can't take anything away from a one. But for some reason, this one does stand out to me. Be that prickly thorn I cannot free, tease me with riddles and laughter, whisper oft into my ears thereafter, but do not forsake me beyond the lea. I think it's the imagery and the words. The glossary he provides is very nice. Most of those words should be understandable to anyone who likes to read. A few of them, like sieve, I did not know meant the bush. I knew the word wean, but I'd forgotten what it imagined, or what it meant, imagine. And I didn't know burthen. Really a nice presentation on the part of Frank. Really great, great poem. And of course, his delivery is as masterful as always. And now that I've spoken and spoken and spoken, I should have let Wayne go first. Wayne, what'd you think?
Good time. I think there's a little poem you got here. I like the first time I remember him, Frank, writing in the rhyme scheme of ABBA. I don't think I ever remember a poem that he wrote like that scheme. And this poem is perfect for that, the way he was creating it. It's got balance all the way through, and and the soundtrack was perfect too. And I like that stands out the best was the second stanza where he said, "Now I roam along the morning lost as a hapless wretch, a bitter rover, seeking the soul of my ghostly lover, when gone are days of cold and frost." It's just the way you laid this out, it's so wonderful in the way, and the terms he used was fabulous. I didn't see the classic to the end of it, and it's just really good. And I like the terms he used, and just a good poem all the way through. Good balance.
Thank you very much. That was a great comment. And Jean, how about a comment from you?
I'm actually going to let you know that Naomi is with us. Hey, Naomi.
Hello.
Naomi.
Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
Good to have you, hon. Did you hear that last piece?
Yeah, I did. Wow. Right up there with the classicals, that poem. Like, I mean, that's a tribute to all those classical poems there, and its wording and its flow. It's just beautifully composed. A haunt me like the shadow of death before and behind my hastened step, and feel my weary tears that slowly drip now for thought, my breath. My soul and breath. Wow. And, you know, it just comes together so beautifully. Each stanza, it just stands out on its own. It's just a remarkable tribute to the Bronte, Emily Bronte there, and, you know, her novel, Wuthering Heights there. It's just beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, it's back to you.
Okay, well, Frank, I think that this was an excellent piece. You know, the emotions were so well conveyed and excellent work. It was an awesome audio as well. I did pull one stanza from this as well. You know, of course, it's not the only one I liked, but it was definitely, I wanted to stop knocking, so... Let me hit that button. Make the page big enough I can read my own writing. Oh, my. Okay. The one I picked was, "Amidst the morrow I shall go forth, following the clouds that take me into the ripples of time, before our sea, above the bonny moors." I think that it was so well done, and it was like a hinge stanza within the work. You know, it wasn't telling a huge part of the story, but I think that it was excellent because you didn't lose anything in that stanza. It's not like, you know, sometimes when you're in that in-between place between what you're starting out with and where you're turning, sometimes you get to that little... I don't know, non-important stanza or not so important stanza. And things kind of go amok for a minute or two. Or, you know, not really a minute, but, you know, a few seconds. It just seems a little awkward. But this just flowed with everything else, and you wouldn't even notice that it was different. I don't know. Maybe I should just give that a rest. But
hey, hello, Margo.
What'd you do?
I was greeting Argo in the room.
Oh, hello, Argo. Woo-hoo. Yes, let's celebrate. Get the champagne. We're all here. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. Okay, here we go. We have a caller. Hello, 906. Is that you, Miss Argo Wings?
Yes, it is.
How you doing, MJ?
Good. Sorry, I had my my thing on, and I have to turn that off so I can actually hear you on my phone.
Hey, Argo, how are you doing?
Did you hear from...
Good. How are you?
Hi, Argo.
Did you hear the poem by any chance of Frank's?
I did not. I just came on at, like, the last line, and I was just getting settled in.
That's fine. It's a really good one. It's worth reading at your leisure. Okay, Jean, back
to
you.
Okay, Wayne, I'm going to put one up for you to read, if you don't mind.
I'll do my best. I got a bad voice because my little cold I went through, but I'll do my best to read it.
Okay. Well, this is by Doc Frank, so whatever you're
ready. This is by Doc Frank. He's a good friend of mine. He's some character. And it's called Dining Under the Ocean Sunset. It goes like this. There's nothing like an ocean sunset. Golden glow radiates across sea, kissing the distant shoreline, refreshing, creating aurora, providing lighting for the hungry seagulls as they feast on tasty morsels served up by the tide. In the short one.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Wayne. This is presents us with quite a novel, The Shape, The Upside Down Triangle. And I know there's a name for these things. And can I remember it? No, I can't. But the words match the imagery. It's quite beautiful. That time of night, or excuse me, that time of evening, when the sun is just on the edge of the horizon, those birds gather and the waves come rolling in. It's a steady susurration of the crashing waves, and it's not really crashing either. It's more of a slip and a slide, and then a gentle murmur as they come rolling in. And the smell, oh, Lord, I love the beach and the odors. But very skillfully done here. Paints a beautiful image. Let's go to Naomi, please.
Yeah, this is amazing. Amazing imagery, the way he wrote this this poem. I think even without the image there, you can see it. You know, just if we didn't even have the picture, we'd still see everything, you know. And I love how he goes down, you know, like to tasty morsels served up by the tide. And, you know, the way it finishes in that point is like a little tiny morsel there. You know, it starts out from the big ocean sunset and it flows down to that little piece there, that little morsel at the end. So I thought that was really neat. Yeah, this is a very creative and a brilliant use of imagination here in this piece. So bravo, Doc Frank.
And thank you, Naomi. And Argo? Melissa?
Yes, sorry.
No problem.
I really like this. This is I'm not great with brevity, so it's nice to have something soothing and short and precise. And I feel like I can taste the salt in the air.
Yeah, it'll be a little while before we get back to that. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And Wayne, please, you read that well. How'd you like it?
I thought it was a wonderful little brevity. I hope you don't kill me for reading this poem, but there's nothing like the sea, the tide, the sunset, and the water birds along the coast. It's just thinking about them was relaxing, and this poem is very, very relaxing too. And the way he wrote it, and Dr. Hill, a character, he's a very smart individual, and I got a lot of respect for the man. We talk all the time. He's a fine individual. Good job on the brevity.
Thank you, Wayne. Nice comment. And Jean?
Nice job. I have to say, Doc Frank, I loved your use of form, and I really enjoyed the piece very much. I wish I could remember the name of the form, too, Laurent, because I know there is one. There's five words in the first line, 4, 3, 2... I don't know. One, two, three, four. It kind of works its way down, and I find it kind of interesting. It doesn't totally go straight in order, but it's 3, 3, 3. Well, then it goes 4. I don't know. It looked like there was something. It reminds me, I think, of a diamante, but only half of it. It's a triangle. But anyway, it's an interesting look, and I thought it suited the image and the write very well. So great work, Doc Frank. And now, over here.
Yes.
Naomi, can I get you the next one for us?
Yes, my dear.
That's by Sheila.
Is it up? No. Or do I have
it
to refresh?
Better refresh.
Oh, okay. I have to refresh. Sorry, I was just waiting there. Okay. Simply Your Tulip. Okay, yeah, this was for my contest. One of the prompts in the contest on Twisted Tuesdays. I wish, Simply Your Tulip. I wish, and wish to be that lovely tulip. Fly high up in the sky, rise high to the reach. I wish that I be your bee, feel your touch. You pour your nectar on me. I see the open sky clustered together with each petals rise high, with its proud stalk standing tall with a carved leaf. I wish to be that lovely tulips and poem.
Beautifully read, Naomi. Thank you. Lots of feeling in that. And Melissa, may we start with you, please?
Yes. I was just typing my comment. This has a really nice, calming, soothing cadence to it, almost like a dreamy and airy. I really enjoyed it. Very sweet.
It is. I agree. Thank you, dear. And Wayne, please.
I had to run down to my cat house, so I'm just getting back to the comment. But Ellis did a wonderful job with this. I enjoyed the poem, and she did a good job. She wishes this and wishes that, and I wish that I be your bee. That was a great little line. I wish I be your bee. I like that right there. So it's a good point, and I'm going to write a comment to it right now. I'll just get back to the seat.
Thank you so much, Wayne. And Naomi, how about your comment, please?
Yeah, I just love this. I think she captured the prompt beautifully here. There was a kind of an aura of sensuality around this poem that I felt, you know. I wish to be the lovely tulip, you know, to be your bee, feel your touch, your pour, your nectar on me. There was like a dripping kind of sensuality here throughout this poem that I really dived into. So I really appreciated this writing. Bravo, Tilla.
Thank you so much. Charming comment, Naomi. And I do agree with everyone's assessment on this piece. And back to you, Jean. Mute, Jean.
You can hear my telepathic response?
No, my receptors were down.
Yeah, typical man. Don't tune into it all. I get it. Nothing personal, everybody.
Us men understand that when a woman senses she's losing the argument, she'll tend to go rogue. I understand all that.
Okay. So what? Somehow I don't quite agree with that, but I'll comment on the piece. Tila, I thought this was nicely penned, and I thought you had lovely thoughts expressed in the piece itself. So wonderful job, and thanks for sharing with us all tonight. Yeah. Okay, for my next magic act. Oh, next magic clip, sorry. Let's see. Yes, okay. MP, can I get you to read this next one?
Did you say Argo?
Well, I said MJ, but Argo too.
Well, it's either. Sorry, I was muted. My little one woke up, but I am fine. He's sleeping through. All right, this is by T. Michelle. Rebellion. Papers holding memories. Adept at comportment. Long-lasting, slick, like pomade blotches and flayed under the grapevine. You carry the fixtures, tabernacles, prepared at the end of wits of madmen, brainwashed in miracles and prayers for the disturbed. I mean, you did understand that there's sarcasm in themes of poetry. You peruse scrolls permitted, but not the disclaimer at the bottom. Too fat for a fairy tale, yet too thin to be a villain. Hanging midway among loose screws. Non-perio, fractured morphine, ruckus harbinger, snickers for moral breakage, fake jest in the language of the wild. Modeled after an error, stung by a seahorse, graded by illiterates, vague Sanskrit, all the scripted reasoning and faith and sepsis. Incense sticks to repel malignant tumors, the holes of the stories that do not add up. Alkaline-coated leather, you latched to a sofa covered in suede. When I became a redouche in your home, questions to gods, brass rods across slow winds, ritualized arts in silos till breaths tangle with seaweeds, centrifugal junks, axe to cut deep down, there the color settles, let a synthetic shift. 'Twas a slight crack, and boom, cinders of an era, left to oxidize the wanderer, history no longer worry about. When it was bipolar, you locked it out, cinched the gate, and threw heat pads on the house. A skiing delicacy on the menu, irked, impatient. You replaced the soybean. I recoil like a fishworm, annelid tossed into an ash can, obtuse neck twist. Just the right gray, starting to grow mold, let it run its course, raised head, anti-gravity. A little smirk, a little sneer. This way a cookie crumbles, dough by dough, raisin by raisin. Bleached tonic, eyelined in deep honey, path of pleasure I pursue, torrid palomino skin, compulsive observer, enjoying the cold me, masochistic me, and pulse.
Well read, my dear, well read. I know you had a special fondness for this piece. You actually asked to read it, which I think is a great choice because you read so well. Why don't we start with you? I know you had a chance to read it prior to this and comment on it, so I won't be taking advantage of your generous nature.
Yeah, sorry, I just my screen earlier when I was reading couldn't see. Every little stanza, I would go back and I kept rereading this, and I was just like, oh my God, the concise wording she just uses, the pairing, I love the different little fun things, the humor that she sneaks into something that's somewhat dark, right? It's writing about, you know, insanity and issues with dealing with mental health and what people have labeled her over the years. And she just talks about, you know, being on screws, you know, talking about being called someone with their screws loose and stuff like that. It's just a really, really brilliant write.
I agree. We couldn't get to this. This was written for one of Richard's contests on Kafka, and I remember we couldn't get to it that evening, but it was truly excellent. I ended up winning the silver what's a number of things struck me about this. Modeled after an error stung by a seahorse, rated by illiterates, vague scan, Sanskrit, all this crooked reasoning and faith and sepsis. Incense sticks to repel malignant tumors, the holes of the stories that do not add up. And as I was reading it, I couldn't help but think that the absurdity of the whole thing is the reality, which she joins together expertly. It's a rite that examines itself, finding the pain, enjoying it, and as the poet says, compulsive observer enjoying the cold, me, the sarcastic one, and spot on. I thought it was great. And let's go to Naomi, please.
Yeah, this is just like, I've already said I was bipolar myself. And this is just like, somebody who is bipolar, who is going in and out of manics, the way it's written, the whole thing, the wording and the metaphors in here and everything, it's just brilliantly written, but it's written in this way that is a little bit like, this demonstrates like that manic side of bipolar, like you go in and out of these highs and these lows, and you are mocked by society a lot. Which she demonstrates, and your own actions too. Sometimes you don't even understand your own self, the way you act, and people around you sometimes they say that, I don't recognize you, like what's happening to you, and and medication is not all, it's there, but it doesn't always. Sometimes the medication, it wears off and you have to try a new medication, after a couple of years. And so this is really like she's going on a rebellion against this mental illness here. And I feel it, path of pleasure I pursue, torrid polymino skin, compulsive observer enjoying the cold. Me, masochistic, me, a bleach tonic, eye-lined in deep honey. All these sentences here, they just scream, the mental illness here. So this is so well done. Oh, my gracious. It's like a masterpiece, this.
Thank you so much, Naomi. Great comment. And Wayne, my friend, how about your comment?
Yes, this is great. There's a lot of emotion in this poem that could be discussed for months. She's just so elaborate. Her feelings are expressed in a rather unique manner when she says things, and is extremely political, and a masterpiece of internal thoughts. In the end, she speaks of insanity and being bipolar, which I think is close to being genius and brilliance. It's a classic of a poem, and it's a wonderful to read, and it's just a great poem all the way around.
Thanks, Wayne. Couldn't agree more. And Jean Marie, it's back to you.
No, it's always back to me. It seems like this. I thought this was an incredible piece, a wonderful reflection on the chosen prompt, and it was so very well expressed. In no way. Mean to sound like, I think it's a work of fiction that it's kind of hard to, put something out there without all that incorporated into it. But I thought it was very, 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 very well expressed. Okay. Now, let me see. I know what I'm going to do. The next one I have. By Gerald Green, and I also have an audio for that. So let me just hit that button. Here we go.
Remember When, written and read by Gerald Green. A phrase that's seldom used when lips bloom full of collagen and teeth are not yet stained. It takes a decade more before reflection's door first opens in a momentary lapse. Adventure and discovery have dominated thought, and now a new dimension makes a chasm separating now from then. A wrinkle here, dark spot there, and thinning of the lower lip present maturity signal that won't recede, but offers words of consolation. Remember When, end poem.
That was a fine piece, Gerald. Well read through.
Let me offer
Wayne the first comment, please.
Yeah, this poem hits home pretty close to home. At my age, there's a time when you no longer look forward to the journeys you're going to take, but you look back and try to remember what you did. And he put this in so well that that's hit home awful well. And there is a time there that you go from one phase of your life to another that is, I'd rather enjoy it, but it's still, you think about it, you know, that you didn't serve it. Your life purpose, and now you're just more or less got the memories to go by, and you're filling in the time a lot more often than you was. Instead of looking out to go explore something, you're more or less trying to think about how you explored something. Great job, it's fun, Gerald, and a great read.
Thank you, Wayne. That was a fine comment. And Melissa, please.
I was just giggling over this because I'm only in my 30s, and I am worried about when my mind is already here. If I give it another, 20 or 30, 40 years, my mind is just going to be gone. So a wrinkle here, a dark spot there. Yet remember one, I won't be remembering.
Oh, no, that's the kid, dear.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
this was a great, Ray. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. It sounded to me like you did. Wayne, please. Wayne?
I just commented a second ago.
Oh, yes, you did. Who did this new comment? Naomi?
I just enjoyed this. Like Argo said, it just made me chuckle. So well composed, And I was checking to see I was passing my tongue over my lower lip. Is it thinning? As I was reading this, is my lip thinning? Because I'm getting up there too, and it offers words of consolation. Remember when? Yeah, you can always go back to that. Remember when? So just so neatly written.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Yeah, I enjoyed this by Gerald Green. A phrase that's seldom used when lips bloom full of collagen and teeth are not yet stained. And then the first staining is a shock. Oh, boy. Jean, how about you?
I like this piece. I really enjoyed this piece, and I thought it was well expressed. I thought it was awesome work, and nothing like bringing everything back to the beginning, even if it is only in thought. So well done, Gerald, and really appreciated that one. Absolutely. Okay, Laurent, I have one for you. One for Geneva. So here we go.
Hang on, I'm gonna refresh. Maybe
I'll put it in the room this time. That always helps.
I don't see it. See something now. This is called The Water. Excuse me. This is by Robert Polsky. Changes 3, The Water. 1. I am the water, the sacred wash and cleanser, older than the time's silent stealth of my brother, the wind. We rule. Remember many storms and twilights between midnights and dawns, rushing into the sunshine and the moonlight and starlight, transparent and cool. You can touch me, but won't hold. Will slip through your fingers, but nothing, and all clear as glass. Shapeshifter, I become a glass of water poured into the puddle, the lake, the mighty river, cataracts and creeks, the waterfall and the sea, untamed and intractable. Fill all your vacant spaces. I flow, change, make chaos, never hesitate. I survive, become a fable, a poem. The sea of Cetacea and Charybdis, Hydra and Kraken, the sea of the reeds, the mystical deep stream, the fountain of life. Giver. No life ever without me, the water. 2. I am untrustworthy, wild and fierce, not good for staying still. I congregate with the moon, my religion, go where he goes, and my brother, the wind. He tickles me, teases, makes me giggle, drives me mad. Hurricanes roar through his nostrils, makes waves that break my back, gets me raged. I worry women that married the sea. 3. Yet you, the earth, we are entangled in each other. You're my true master, the captain, Magellan, Columbus, Blackbeard, my God, the Lord of all. Calm me, share your pulse, put your hand upon my ridge and my swollen cheeks, blow the chip off my shoulder, take my wave breast offering, bring deliverance, the deep swell ends right there with your forgiving smile. My murmur will gently sink you into sleep, and then we all become humble new gods. Reverence, humans, and bond. That was that Robert. That's the best thing I've read by Robert. I do believe. Wow, mightily impressed. Naomi, would you please take first stab at this?
This is fabulous. I mean, it shows everything that is changing, you know, everything. It is in movement, the water, the wind, and then how it affects the, you know, the earth and everything. Calm me, share your pulse, put your hand upon my ridge, on my swollen cheek, blow the chip off my shoulder, take my wave breast offering, bring deliverance, deep swell ends right here, right there with your forgiving smile. I murmur, will gently sink you into sleep. this is just fabulously written on my gracious. Like, yeah, like you said, Laurent, one of my favorites, I think, by Robert Pilecki. But I mean, you know, his rites are always so profound and powerful and amazing. So, yeah, this is just, you know, just brilliantly written.
Thank you, Naomi, and I do agree with you. It was to me that the first part was absolutely engaging. It really grabbed me as I was reading it, what I was reading, and I just found it. There was something of an impeccable beauty in the way that the words were phrased, or the feelings were phrased, the images were presented, and the water, the sacred wash and cleanser, older than the time, silence, death. Those first three lines just immediately grabbed me. And then you fall into the rest of it, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, you'd think it's about water, but it's entitled Changes 3. So I guess that water is one of the elements of change. This is really, really very good. Thank you, Naomi. Wayne, please.
Yes, I kind of believe, like you said, the first three sentences says a whole lot. This is a great poem telling of life and the uses of water. And water was here before any life was ever on earth. And water is what allowed things to be created and born before it exists without it. It's colorless, tasteless, and odorless. And it's the most needed thing we need in our lives except for air. And he did a great job bringing all that out to what we use it for in the history of mankind. And the water is something I like because it flows. It lies in the ocean. It flows. It evaporates. It falls from the sky. And it's something we have to have. And it's what life is built around. It's a great poem. I respect the water a whole lot. And I enjoyed the poem a lot. Good job, Liz.
Thank you, Wayne. That was a fine comment. And Melissa, please, what did you think?
You know, I really liked that second one, actually. The first part of it really pulled to me. It said, I am untrustworthy, wild, and fierce. Not good for staying still. I congregate with the moon. My religion, go where he goes. That little section just really drew me, and I enjoyed it. And the ending, then we all become humble new gods, reverent humans. A very kind of soothing ending for the change, since, you know, it's supposed to be going through three types of change, and it feels like it culminated to something calm.
Thank you, dear. That was a fine comment as well. And Jean, it's back to you, dear, as ever.
Well, I thought this was an intricate piece, beautifully penned. I love the personification of the water course that carried throughout. And I think it was excellent imagery. So, very much enjoyed that, Robert, and thanks for sharing with us. I look forward. Okay. Wayne, I have another one for you to read. We're going to get to everybody on the board. But, meantime, got a few more. So here we go. Whenever you're ready, Wayne.
Jack. I wrote a lot of Jack's poems. It's called Ice Storm by Jack Tomovich. It goes like this. Branches snap like rifle fire. Whole trees pop like cannons. Weather at war. Battalions flanking maneuvers. Blocked by the weapons, fire, and tanks. Napoleon, we see that hat. That hat they may still be worn. In.
Nice read, my friend. Nice quick piece by Jacko. Nice, Jack. I love ice storms are wonderful to experience as if in a dream. And then, you know, shake your head and it goes away because it's a real mess. But I've been to ice storms before, real bad ones, and they definitely, definitely snap like rifle fire. And you hear cannons. And it's really fairly intense. But then to give us Napoleon at the end, we see the hat. And in this case, of course, the hard hat of the electricians, the people who work on the lines, and the day may still be won. That's a short piece. but it's not. Melissa, could you comment, please?
Yeah. I think I find humor sometimes in things that I shouldn't. because I know that this is about, you know, personification of war in nature, and it's just Napoleon, we see the hat, the day may still be won. That just makes me chuckle. But I definitely enjoyed this very short little brevity here. It's fun to read something that short and have it affect you.
Amen, sister. Mm-hmm. Amen. Definitely chuckleable. Chuckleable. And Naomi, please.
Oh, yeah, I'm right away. I'm right along the same lines there. I chuckled, too, with Napoleon, we see the hat. you know, and this shows so much creativity and an amazing imagination to come up with something like this. So just bravo, Jack, on this ride. It's just an amazing, amazing brevity here.
Thank you, Naomi. And damn it, I'm losing track again. I guess it's back to you, Jean.
Okay. Well, let me just see what I had lined up. Nothing. Imagine that. No. Okay, Naomi, I'm going to have you read the piece by Casey Day. So let me
put it. Okay. Salt by Casey Day. Hold your breath. We drown in night sky and mangled brush, coveting tiny sparkles slipping through our fastidious fingertips. We are salt spilled across the Milky Way. I like the way it tastes. End poem.
Nice job, Naomi.
That was nice. Another powerful little brevity. We drown in night sky and mangled brush. Very well presented. I like the salt, analogous to the Milky Way, as it were. They both do taste good. Wayne, could you comment, please?
Yes, I comment. I also like the way it tastes. Salt is a wonderful thing. I can cook without salt, so I like it too. And this is a wonderful little poem talking about it. Talking about salt is sodium chloride. You got to have sodium chloride in your system. You got to be healthy. You got to have it. It's all over the universe, but it's all over our planet in abundance. And then she did a great job talking about it. And it comes in teeny little sparkles. It's true. I enjoyed it a lot, and I enjoyed this poem. Good brevity.
Thank you, Wayne. And Melissa?
You know, I really... hate saying that again. I feel like I just keep repeating myself. I really liked this. But it's just so, it almost had like an elegant feel to it. That first three words, it's something so simple. Hold your breath. And it's like you're about to dive into the night sky. And it's just beautiful.
It is, and that was a great comment. And Naomi.
Oh, yeah, this is just, like, stunning, magnificent. it is, is it Melissa?
Yes.
Like like you said, it has an elegance to it, you know. It's very well... in its presentation, in its the way it's written, just in its simple message there, it's so beautifully done. Just a brilliant right, just bravo, Casey. But I mean, she always amazes me with the way she can write about, you know, anything and make it so powerful and so amazing. You know, she just amazes me every time.
Great comment, dear. Thank you. And Jean, it's your microphone.
Okay. Well, I think that was a wonderful brevity and very well. Well done. Very well done. Now, Miss Argo Wing, a.k.a. MJ. I'm going to put you up next. If you don't want to ask one, I might be able to. But thank you.
Thank you. All right. This is called Mnemonic Pigments. Autumn assaults me with ravaging hunger on this early morning drive. A heavy heaping of warmth, blending with a crisp bite of November air. Obscurity blankets the atmosphere. Fresh rays sifting in to caress the treetops in shades of gold and saffron. Buttery light drowsily coats ripples lapping at a flame-drenched shoreline. Riding the inside of a tree-lined wind tunnel, charcoal brushstrokes lend depth to waking obsidian dreams. The canopy's umbra playing peekaboo with tousled primrose splotches. Lanky wandering mist dampens patches of blacktop, bursting a muffled strain of white noise as my tires glide along the road. My lungs freeze when an updraft disturbs a menagerie of discarded foliage, cinnabar and chartreuse waltz, backlit by early morning sunshine beneath a haunted blue-gray sky. I inhale, the giddy lightheadedness reminiscent of our first call. Shivering in my old Sierra, I sat in the parking lot after work, held a cracked screen to my ear, and waited to hear your voice, the hummingbird in my chest edging to take flight. Aware that my existence was irrevocably changed at your hello, it was a familiar sense of home, grounding me, something missing that even my butterflies recognized in you, an ease of self. It was hours past dusk 4 days later on the inside of that dilapidated red barn when you confessed those three words. Leaning against the cold concrete wall, I just stood there in silence for minutes, eyes leaking at the corners, my lips refusing to stop smiling. Not even to say it back. But that was okay. Already, I had silently pledged my days to you, and though it hadn't been spoken aloud or written in quiet messages, we both knew. The inertia of our falling, the frenzied kaleidoscope of raw artistry, much like this aerial current to fuse before me, I'm desperate to take it all in. But the longer I watch, the more intricate it becomes, and I am enamored with the undefinable shape of it. Exhaling, I return from my reverie beneath seasoned quaking aspen, my gaze drifting to verdant vines creeping along an aged sassafras trunk to seek out the plump limbs of its neighbor. Contrasting the knots of rough bark, mustard-stained leaves cavort with rebellious dust motes, flitting to rest in the sharp lines of silver slivers and warm memories. And poem.
Nice.
Well, I know that applause doesn't sound pleasant on a microphone. And I want you to imagine an auditorium full of people standing up and applauding this fine work.
Yeah.
I love the title, Mnemonic Pigments. It is so... Wow. A poem, you know, it's hard to comment on a poem of this quality and this length and do it on a cold read. But it's the way a fine wood carver carves at wood to create images or a beautiful chest or anything else, a statuette, so do you carve with your pen a beautiful imagery of that early morning drive, which I thought was entrancing the inside of a tree-lined wind tunnel. Charcoal brushstrokes lend depth to waking obsidian dreams. The way you carve patiently at your images, bringing us along to that wonderful moment when you were sitting in your car, waiting to hear a voice, the hummingbird in my chest edging to take flight. I mean, you read something like that, and you kind of want to just kind of hold your breath for a minute at the beauty of the writing. And then what is now, to me, a love poem, a history of evolving love, the true emotion that is inside of you that sometimes does not come out easily, because if it's not said just the right way, it's not going to get said. I think you put in your hand that this poem has been in the works for a while, and I can see why you waited. But I tell you what, the result is magic. It really, really is magic, Melissa. Congratulations on your page pick. It didn't take long, did it? Marvelous work. Marvelous work. Naomi, please.
Oh, my gracious. You know, I don't know if I can find words big or fantastic enough to just encompass all that this poem is. Oh, my gracious. It's just like one of the most amazing things I've written and read and heard in a long while. This is just like majestic. I just can say wow. that sounds so stupid compared to this, you know, just this amazing piece of literature here on the stage. But, you know, it's just like I'm in awe, like, really, you know, wow, this is just a masterpiece here.
Thank you, Naomi.
Great comment. Thank you,
Naomi. No big words needed.
Nicole, main, please.
Yes, well. Is it? Oh, is me? You say Wayne?
Yes, I did.
Wayne.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of fantastic details in this poem. I had to keep catching my breath as you read it. I could see and touch and feel the motions of the weather and the drive you took. There's lots of color and wonderful phrases in this poem, and I love the daydream mood of the poem too. It's like this laid back daydream mood. It was just perfect. It was perfect. It's great right here. You did a great job on this.
Well, thank you.
She sure did. And because we all know who this poem is about, it makes it even sweeter.
Yeah.
Jean, please.
He's sitting next to me right now.
Yeah, that devil.
Well, no. He's the prodigal son. He comes back every once in a blue moon. you know, MJ, this is beautiful work. A gorgeous testament to the one you love. I really love this piece, but I have to say, even though I wasn't really there, I think I lived through this because it brought back memories to me. You know, it's like amazing. It's just really, really well done. Yes. and if you would tell me and I said hello, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, and I definitely will. He stayed awake so I could read it.
There you go. Let's see what I got here. I have to hit that button, otherwise it's all in vain. There we go. Okay, Milan, I'm going to put your piece up next.
Right, this piece is called Mixed with Love. Slow treads the foot as if weightless. Boards betray no secrets. Nails pounded in straight. Deep wounds to the annular hold strong. sympathetic resin still oozes a lifeblood that pearls out of sight. Sweat is the great equalizer, a pro forma investment, value added. Hands, clever and confident, build me a ridgeline, dig me a well, caress me in the nether of time, moments halted at the opportune tick of the tock. Hold me then, let me burn you. Jeanne d'Arc on a mattress pins you, both shoulders. Ignition, countdown, engines on. Thrust, counter-thrust. We are jet-powered dragonflies, bonded, flying in tandem, zooming above rainbow clouds. No parachutes interrupt our descent from perihelion. Flaming, guttering, gone. Two streaks across a night sky, but unlike the moth, we do not burn into the crispness of nihilistic convention. No bestseller, dog-eared, for the late nights when we need sorrow, but a profound blackness of ink on cream fool's cap, where newborn tales take place and live for a time, composed between sheets that tuck and roll with the sweet nectar of lust, mixed with the love flown to the moon. End poem.
Beautiful job. Do you want to start us off, Wayne?
To me? Sorry to hear. This is a wonderful poem that you wrote there. The art is sensual, and it's kind of about two people in each other's arms and enjoying the moment. And I'm very excited. The last line you said, between the sheets tuck, glad you said that instead of something else. But it's a very good poem, and it's very emotional, and you did a good job of this. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne.
And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I love the metaphors throughout this. Amazing creativity here. Your reference to Jeanne d'Arc, like Jeanne d'Arc, let me burn you, Jeanne d'Arc, on a mattress. And then the jet-powered dragonfalls and flying in tandem, zooming above rainbow clouds. Then you, unlike the moth, we do not burn to crispness. And then, all the way down, the profound blackness of ink on cream foolscap. That was a beautiful line. And then the ending, oh my gracious, composed between sheets that tuck and roll with the sweet nectar of lust mixed with love flown to the moon. That's just a beautiful, beautiful line there at the end there. And just an amazing right throughout there of passion and love and just amazing, this right here, Laurent. Bravo.
Nice comment, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. Very nice.
I'm saying how about you?
You know, it was very sultry. but my favorite part was actually that last stanza. When you move the last line down one so they know to pause right there and just kind of pull out that last mixed with love, flown to the moon, like it's part of the lust and part of everything else, but it's more important. I really, really like that. But
yeah. Appreciate that, MJ.
Yeah. All around, I thought that was beautifully expressed. Gorgeous imagery and wonderful lines all throughout. I really loved it. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, Wayne, I have your piece up next.
Okay, I'd like to make a quick comment about it before you play SoundCloud. I'd like to make a quick comment. This is one of the things that my pet peeve about things when people join the military. They don't join the military to go to war. They don't really want to go to war. And the way that when they get out through the war, they parade around in front of the cameras like they're in a great movie somewhere and talk about it like being heroes and what we do when we go to war. We do things that are kind of disgusting. So we do all it takes to win. And this is kind of like my take on when soldiers come back from war. You know,
okay. So you want me to play the SoundCloud, right?
Oh, please do.
Sorry?
Yeah, please play it.
Okay, you got it.
This is called Soldiers Stood Sadly. The audience applauded as the Academy ambassador made announcement, but seven stricken sailors stood sadly in the shadows as if in cement. The whiskered, wounded warriors wouldn't walk away from all, carrying the torn ticket tags. They told the terrible tale they saw. Hard to hear highlights of how helpless hero held hill in haze, dirty, dehydrated, and delivering death at dawn for days. Commanded to carry camouflage canvas to cover crew's cuts, making marked military men march like metallic mental mutts. The proud patriot prisoners prayed proudly on pitted pathway. Each embroidered enlistment engaged enemy every day. Fighting fiercely for family and friends, for fluted freedom, riding on rugged, rocky, rough road, and resting in raunchy room. Never needing a name tag to know your neighbor at night. Letting limp legal lawyers lead leaders into limelight. So the cushioned crowd of clown civilians can cruelly clap, while the seven silent soldiers who served were mentally slapped. Ian?
That, to me, was very, very moving. You hit on some very, very important things. Things like the terrible tale. What is the terrible tale? Well, that's the very thing that the civilians, you know, want to hear, because somehow they see the glory in it. But your next line's hard to hear highlights of how a helpless hero held hill in a haze, dirty, dehydrated, delivering death at dawn for days. It's powerful writing as well as great alliteration. We do tend to use veterans for our own political purposes, and it's not good. Not righteous. Well done, by the way, on this piece. And Melissa, your comment?
Melissa dropped it, Laura.
Okay. And Naomi, your comment, please.
Oh, yeah, this is very powerful, Wayne. Wow. Never needing a name tag to know your neighbor at night. You know, just you just imagine that, you know, the soldiers cradled almost together there, you know, in the darkness, you know. Yeah, this has powerful, like, political and, you know, just a great tribute to all those soldiers, you know, that are out there fighting and, you know, that they live through all this. And wow, just bravo for this piece, Wayne. It touched me too.
Thank you. Great comment.
It's a different look at returning veterans, one that hasn't been explored thoroughly at all, I don't believe, at least not in my experience. Congratulations on a poem that lends many insights to those who have never served or served in war. A great job.
Thank you.
And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, Wayne, I thought this was a great piece. You know, great alliteration throughout. Emotions were well expressed. It was powerful and nicely penned. So great work. Thanks for sharing
with
us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Naomi. And now I have you. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is called Hush, Hush, Hush. I look at you in French with silky eyes and pouty lips, feeling soggy and even a tad sans froid. I smile, scribbling sultry muses, sauced with sass and sibilance, seeping slippery under your shivering sheath. Blushing bleeds dark against my ivory skin, inviting you to dive deeper into me, to feel the soft fall, my breath pressed against your chest. Your heart starts to stutter, hungry for what waits below, to lick the perfume from my inner thighs. Swept by my lustful murmurs, you drown in between the hours, watching breezes caress my pink flushed flesh and crush my body under yours, as the air is expelled in a gushing, rushing, torrid rise and fall of our in sync breathing, till the only sound in the room you hear is my luscious hush, hush, hush. Come follow me, not far. My tongue entangles you in scorched, aching need to possess my mouth. I've broken all your ledges, torn and slit you open. You sink beneath the surface, slipping into darkness, burning with passion, left corrupted at the core, damning you to want me more. End poem.
My. Nicely done, Naomi. Nicely done.
I'm trying to catch my breath. You know, that's snuck in out of nowhere, like an asteroid skipping through the atmosphere. All of a sudden, you know, the way you start this, I look at you in French, is so perfectly phrased. I look at you in French, and since you are, of course, French, it's a good place to start. I can't really afford to quote any of this because I don't think my heart will take it. But I've got to tell you, it was as beautiful as it was passionate, Naomi. You set the air in my room and my ears on fire, leaving me considerably moister than when you started reading. Thank you so much for that. Wayne, please.
Thank you, Laura.
Wow, Naomi. This is amazing. This is beautiful and sexy. And I like when you start out and said, I look at you in French. There's no reason to say a word when you approach someone in that manner. This is more than sensual. It's erotic and sexy. I know I have wonderful dreams tonight. I'm going to hush, hush, hush and just daydream a moment. Great job. This is wonderful.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, this is a great gold. By the way, Naomi, congratulations. And Jean, I know you enjoyed this.
I think it was a wonderful piece. Beautifully penned, Naomi. Wonderful imagery throughout. And it was just a fabulous, passionate piece. Very much enjoyed it. It's a nice work. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you. I got it. Okay, let me go to... Oh, my gosh, where am I going? Oh, you got me all turned around. I got to go back to the top. Okay, well, it brings me back to you. That's what I needed. Okay, Ron, if I can get you to read this one, it would be awesome, by Dan DeShina.
Yes, ma'am. Daniel DeShina gives us The Gathering of Frights. Frights, the definition of my character, seems to grow like a cancer with age, fed by knowledge, hydrated by experience. I'm not frightened by ghosts of the past or specters that haunt me from what I have done. No, it's the sun that scares me. The sun is the horizon. It's what's coming. The sun is the awakening of daytime. It is opportunity, and it is unknown. Unknown, the breeding ground for possibilities. And possibilities are like a hailstorm at night, seemingly endless, pounding, impossible to count or predict. I always wanted to know, and once I did, I wished to forget, but I'm addicted. I can't stop. I keep wanting to know. Even now, with these words that I write, hoping I can figure something out, hoping one day I'll find the answer I'm looking for, instead of just another piece of information to bury my mind alive. So I pray, inward and meditative, the way only a truly frightened man does. I pray for faith itself. Faith. Just a beautiful sounding word, unlike instinct and knowledge. Such harsh sounding words. Faith. Happiness of knowing without knowing. The innocence of just believing. The peace of an uncluttered mind. But faith is just a lost dream of youth, slowly destroyed through the years by the curiosity of mind. I just wish I wasn't so scared. Most days, I wish I could forget. End poem.
Great reading.
Wayne, can we start with you, please?
Sure. There's so much stuff that people nowadays, when they get out of bed, they just got so much stuff that they can do and they need to do. There's so many opportunities, but which path to take is almost frightening to decide what you're gonna do every day. Without having faith, it'd be just basically a nightmare. You'd be frightened to death if you didn't have faith to know that you can get through it all. He did a great job putting the emotion in this point, and I don't know where he's coming from, but I'm glad I'm kind of past that stage, because it used to be always a challenge every day. You wake up and there's something new you have to conquer, or somewhere different you had to go, and something you had to figure out every day. And so it is a frightening world out there for the younger generation. I don't know where he's coming from. Great point.
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah. And Naomi.
Yeah, this made me think of my parents. My father's a pastor, a preacher, and, you know, they just have so much faith, and they're just so happy, you know, and they always say, God will provide, don't worry about a thing, you know, everything will end up okay in the end. And I just grew up with that, you know, that faith. And till reality struck me in the face there once I got out into the real world. But, so I see where he's coming from, you know. It's amazing just to have that faith, you know, that peace of mind. But, you know, then with the curiosity, curiosity of mind. You want to dig farther. You want to, you know, when I went to university, you know, and I started learning about all this stuff and everything, and then I started to question, you know, like the Bible and everything, and, you know, put science above and just, you know, leave, and that faith just got scattered to the sideway. So I see, you know, what he's saying in this, you know. Faith is just happiness of knowing without knowing, you know. He has that line in there, and the innocence of just believing, the peace of an uncluttered mind, you know. But then it gets lost through the years, and, you know, so I understand this piece, and this is just brilliantly a thought-provoking piece, and just so well written, Daniel. Just bravo.
It is thought-provoking. Great comment, Naomi. The you know, you can sometimes use innocence as a synonym for ignorance, because if we don't know of something, if we're ignorant of it, we're also presumably ignorant of its consequences. Innocence in our understanding, and innocence can be a very comfortable place to be. But boy, knowledge can, the truth and knowledge, scarier than hell. I couldn't agree with him more. I mean, it's very hard to unknow something once you know it. Well, great comments, Gene. It's back to you.
Okay, well, I thought this was an excellent penning. I thought it was a great piece, and I wish him good luck in that contest. Hopefully he will. Here it is. Good way to put it. Okay, Naomi, I have one for you to read, if you don't mind, for Sapphire Rose.
Yes, Snow Globe. Oh, I love the title already. Snow Globe View. Oh, that picture is just beautiful. Lightning dances in front of my eyes. It feels as though the storms of life are now approaching autumn. Floating leaves kiss the ground as the sun-filled days start to set, the whistling gale at October's end, as Jack Frost kisses my cheeks so rosy, in the rustle of leaves kicked into the air, the aroma of baked goods from homes I pass by, sunsets, pastels show, strewn across the sky and spellbinding you. The winter solstice of my life draws near with each passing year. Seasonal reflections captured and frozen you, framed eternally in a snow globe to view. End poem. Oh, that's beautiful.
That was beautifully read, too. Nice job on that. Wayne, can we start with you, please?
Yeah, I didn't hear from Preto just then, but I'll try to talk to him. This is a wonderful job of using the seasons to tell where she's at in life. And she did a great job of taking the fall and autumn and saying just about where she is in the past, to do the prime of her life. And just all the way through this, she just did a wonderful job blending the seasons with her life. And I enjoyed it a whole lot. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne. As one approaches a certain age, the subject of aging, growing older, becomes more and more prominent in a person's mind, at least it does in mine. And so the themes of life and death are very powerful. And, you know, I could restrict myself to writing about nothing but that, but then it wouldn't be very pleasant the way that Sapphire offers us this piece on aging. It's a real pleasure to read. Lightning dances in front of my eyes. It feels as though the storms of life are now approaching autumn. And then the short two lines, the winter solstice of my life draws near with each passing year. But then she gives us the snow globe image, that's a wonderful image at this stage in your life, because you can shake it all up, and every bit of your life rotates wildly within the globe, and you see bits of this and bits of that, just like a real snow globe. So it's a wonderful metaphor in certain ways for reexamination of a life approaching its winter solstice. Just really a great piece. And Jean, it's back to you. Jean, are you muted?
Yes, I was. I thought it was beautifully written. I thought it was a wonderful piece with great imagery and a wonderful metaphor for that. It's just really, really well done. So, my story. And, okay. Wait, I have one for you if you don't mind. No, just back there. I can get there. Wayne, are you there?
Yes, I'm trying to swallow my food. If I said anything, I'm trying to get those burritos worth there real quick. I got the munchies. I've been in here munching. Let me see what I got here. I'll see what I can do with it. I need to get a little supplement. I've been busy writing poems. My camera eye. Like this, my camera's eye. Just the feel of the shape of my hands takes me to the place already visited. I feel the wheat with the rustling breeze, crop ready for harvest and summer sun. I'm chasing the witch finder general across the existential landscape he terrorizes. Along with the lust, with the just my thoughts guide by whatever catches my camera eye. More pictures taken through my iris than my lens. As the birds fly away and the landscape changes, fumbling for the night kit in my bag. I am myself here, no pressures, no deadlines. Back to the world I love after the bleakness of the winter season, only cheered by lights. Christmas trees present presents and over-evening adventures causes I check dead batteries and dormant kit for nasty surprises. Then with a reassuring weight on my back, I read out closing the door of work at home behind me. I'll be back, but I have no note after a kit. Just a bit lost in the meantime. Ian?
Thanks, Dad.
Sorry, a little coughing jag. Well read, Wayne. Well read. Naomi, could we start with you, please?
Can you go to Wayne? I'm just rereading parts of it.
I'll be happy to go. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'll give both of you a moment. Let me talk about my camera eye. There's a great implication to the eye that remembers. I assume that's what a camera eye is. But he starts with just the feel of the shape of my hands. Takes me to places already visited. So he begins with shape. Now, his camera eye could be the solid physical camera that he has. In fact, I think it probably is, although I thought initially it was his eye that was the camera. But, you know, the two important to each other. I am myself here, no pressure, no deadlines. You know, he's in that transitory stage. Back to the world I love after the bleakness of the winter season. Only cheered by lights. I'll be back, but I have to get just a little bit lost in the meantime. Is he getting lost in memories? Is he getting lost in pictures anticipated in the camera? But, you know, again, he separates the physical camera from his biological camera. Whatever catches my camera eye, more pictures taken through my iris than my lens. So his eye sees one thing, and perhaps the camera sees another. I'm not sure. But he's evidently a photographer. And although I talked about his hobby badly, because it does want rereading. It really does. But now that I'm reading it the second time, he does that wonderful job of separating what he sees with what he can't take a picture of, with what he can take a picture of. And it's a lovely work, really, if you think about it. Wayne, can I get your reaction, please?
Yeah, this is a wonderful point of getting away from all the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season. And he's just out in the woods taking pictures, and he's not enjoying taking the pictures as much as he's enjoying the sights. He just has to relax for the moment, just no pressure, nothing to do, but relax and enjoy the sitting around. And he just a great relaxing point, where he's just getting away from society for a while and getting back to himself, getting along by himself, and enjoying the space. It's a very good poem. I enjoyed reading it, and it's a good poem all around.
Thank you, my friend. Well said. And now Naomi.
Yeah, well, I love the part, I am myself here. No pressure, no deadlines. Back to the world. I love after the bleakness of the wintry season, only cheered by lights. So I can see that everything that you men said, that he's just, relaxing in the moment here and watching like life through a camera eye and while he's taking these pictures. And, as the landscape is changing, life is changing just while he is fumbling in through his kit, just to get out his camera. Right there, the landscape is already changing, so life is always flowing. There's that message, I think, inside this poem, too, as well as everything that you've boys have already said. So just a great write throughout. Amazing.
Well said, Naomi. Well said. And final comment to Jean?
Yeah, I thought it was a well-done piece, nicely penned, clever and well-expressed.
If you're done, let me just say that, not to criticize this in any way, but what stopped me initially was the solid block of text without any obvious physical pauses. Mm-hmm. I think the poem might benefit from that. I wouldn't change a word in it, mind you, because it's really well done.
Gotcha. Okie doke. Well, last but not least, I have our final poem from the board, and this is by Sauer. So, needless to say, I have a soundtrack. So, Miss Sauer, here we go.
I love poems. Yesterday's sorrows, les chagrins d'hier. Yesterday's sorrows, plunge me to my pain. My mind pushes them away. My docile reflection soars, far away from a mirage of tears. I lift my eyes and breathe. Voices of hope free my burden. I feel an ignitating spark somewhere, leading to a path of dreams, leaving a path of illusions. Les chagrins d'hier me plongent dans ma peine. Mon esprit les pousse, les fuit. Mon reflet docile s'élance. Loin d'un mirage de pleurs, je lève mes yeux et je respire. Des voix d'espoir libèrent mon fardeau. Je sens une étincelle de lumière quelque part menant un chemin de rêve quittant un chemin de chimère. End of poem.
Nicely done. Pain precedes redemption in many of Sauer's poems. She suffers, but her inner spirit, her mind, her docile reflection soars far away from a mirage of tears. The sorrow is in her mind, at worst, a mirage, that can disappear because, as she says, I lift my eyes and breath and breathe. Voices of hope free my burden. And there's that eternal, the eternal topic, isn't it? Hope. Tomorrow is going to be better than today. Hope which leads to a path of dreams, leaving a path of illusions. And that's nicely phrased as well. This is really well done. Naomi?
Oh, yeah. This is a beautiful brevity. You know those last two lines in French there? Mana a chemin de rêve, kita a chemin de chimère. Yeah, that's so beautiful in French. Yeah, there's hope throughout this poem, but there's so much power and emotion inside of this short brevity, like Salwa can do it every time. And the way she read it, it's just so beautiful, her read. So bravo on this little brevity, Salwa. I just ate it up. Just an amazing little piece.
I agree. Well, and Wayne, please.
Yes, I wrote, where is my Salwa? I'm going to share their comments. She is such a pure-hearted person. I've never met a lady with such an innocent hue around her. She's a wonderful person. Her poems always have on the heartbreak side, with the hope at the end of her poems. They leave a warm spot in my heart. She's a great poet, and I miss hearing her talk. Great job with this poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And for the final comment of the evening, back to Jean.
Well, I thought it was beautifully penned, and the emotions were so well expressed. But she did a great job, and I really enjoyed it. You know, as I always say, I always feel like I repeat myself with Salwa, but her writes always have such a soft feel to the word. And I think that she really, you know, does a great job. So this is no different than, you know, it's a little on a sadder note, but it still has that kind of, you know, she keeps it kind of lacy. Which I appreciate, you know, a lot of times. So excellent job, Salwa. And everybody, that was the last poem on the board. We got them all done, and I appreciate every one of you for calling in and helping out. Thank you, MJ, so much for joining us. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Naomi. And thank you, Laurent, for co-hosting with me, as always. And thank you for everybody who gave me an audio. Those audios come in handy sometimes. It saves everyone's voice. Not mine. But,
yes, indeed.
Kind of crazy.
Hey, that was a great show. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Nice pace, yes. Good poetry, nice readings, great commentary. Couldn't be more pleased.
Absolutely. And now it is 12:02. And I'm just, we got Parts in a Part Saint at 12:30. So anyone who can, please join us, Aviana, and Babbler. I knew I'm flipping stuff for their show after midnight to crowd. And tomorrow, I think I want to say Gray has a show, but it may be our night off. I don't know. I'm always screwed up. So check the topic board tomorrow, and I'm sure that we'll know who's got what by then. And everybody, have a wonderful weekend and a great week next week. Much love to everybody, and hopefully we'll see you all next Friday. Take care. Good night.
Good night, everybody. It's an amazing evening. Thank you.
Naomi, appreciate you.
Bye.